We've already said
Forty years after the Summer of Love, there is a music festival called Hippie Fest touring the United States, and tonight they'll be stopping at Brooklyn Seaside Park with a lineup that includes Country Joe McDonald, The Turtles, The Zombies, The Rascals, Iron Butterfly, and Denny Lane, the songwriter and multi-instrumentalist. Mr. Lane, who was the guitarist and lead singer for the Moody Blues and sang on their hit Go Now, and then later co-founded Wings with Paul McCartney, joins me now.
How are you?
To see you.
How are you?
Good. Does the fact that you're touring with the Hippie Fest mean that you thought of yourself as a hippie in the 60s and 70s?
Well, I used to wear a suit in the Moody Blues. Does that answer your question?
But, actually, you wore a suit and dyed your hair much earlier. What was it with the Diplomats?
Yeah.
One of the 300 groups you've been a part
of. Well, thanks for bringing that up, Leonard. Yeah, we were just trying to make it, you know, gimmicks, whatever it was. But actually, we were quite a good band. We were a good band. We had good harmonies, and we were probably one of the top five bands in Birmingham at the time.
Was growing up in England in the 60s that much different than the United States? Do you think that the counterculture functioned in a different way in this country? Of course, the Vietnam War was a key part of what drove the counterculture.
That's true. Which we weren't obviously aware of as much, but you know, we grew up after the war, the World War, and that was a very strange environment. And we had the music came from the American forces in Germany. Actually, that's what we were listening to, but we also had a lot of exposure to other music that we kind of brought to America afterwards, you know, and reintroduced to people here.
And in your case, your Wikipedia entry says that you're of Romani descent. I'm assuming that's one of the reasons that you've cited Django Reinhardt as your first guitar inspiration.
Yeah, I loved, you know, jazz guitar players, jazz musicians in general. I mean, even Ginger Baker describes himself as a jazz drummer, you know. And we started the Moody Blues in the jazz clubs in London. Django being my father's side of the family was the gypsy side, and he grew up in the wheelchair till he was 9, and you know, I listened to all that music that he was listening to, so that's where it came from.
And the name on your birth certificate is Brian Hines. Then you became Johnny Dean. How did you what was wrong with Brian Hines?
And
how did you wind up Denny Lane?
I ended up Johnny Dean because I took over from Johnny Dean in another band and took his name. I mean, that's how things were in those days, you know. And
the band was called Johnny Dean and the Dominators, and so you had to be Johnny Dean.
I became him. And then, you know, it was kind of customary to sort of make your name up a little bit in those days. And the Beatles changed all that, of course, by using their real names. But they were a band, you know. And to have a name of a singer was a... And so I made up the name Denny Lane.
And then you became Denny Lane. I suspect if somebody says Brian when you walk down the street, you don't turn around.
Well, sometimes I do. You know, I mean, my family still call me Brian, so there you go.
You have played with a lot of different bands. Why was it so hard to keep one going for any length of time?
I think what happens is that, you know, bands rely on whether you can sort of stick it out and go the whole distance. And a lot of people I used to play with were semi-professionals, you know. They had jobs. For example, the Diplomats, which is a band I led, didn't have... I mean, they didn't want to move to London. They didn't have the ambition to go further, basically. And I wanted to just go the whole way. So that's really what happened.
The Diplomats actually played a concert with the Beatles in the summer of 63.
Yeah.
Were the Beatles already big at that time?
No, they were just starting, but they had Love Me Do out. That was kind of the... And they were big in the sense that they were the fresh thing, you know. And they were doing a tour of all the ballrooms, the Locarno and Ritz ballrooms that we used to play at regularly, and we just happened to do a show with them.
Was that when you met Paul McCartney?
That's when I met him for the first time, yeah.
After you left the Diplomats, you formed with some other people whose names will not be recognized mostly by our listeners, formed the Moody Blues, and you had a big hit with Go Now. You wrote that song?
No, I didn't write Go Now. I actually got it from an American, a DJ who sent stuff over. And that was one of the songs I picked because I like gospel style music, and I felt that, you know, piano, that rundown.
You had the triplets going.
Yeah, there. Just kind of, it had that sort of jazzy sort of gospely feel to me. It was much slower when I heard it, and we just turned it into our own, you know. We did harmonies, we had a style, you know, we had a sound, and that fitted our sound.
And you wound up being picked up by Brian Epstein, the Beatles manager, toured with the Beatles, and it looked like this was a group that was going to last forever. In fact, I think there is still a Moody Blues group, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. There's actually only one original member now. Ray Thomas, the flute player, just left, and he was, the first lineup was me and four others, and they've all been replaced, but after I left, Justin Hayward turned it into another direction. They went in a completely different direction with Knights in White Satin. Mm-hmm. And they've been going ever since, and they still work to this day.
There would never be a possibility that there'd be some kind of a reunion.
Well,
none of those people were in the band.
No, you know, that's strange you say that, because I'm at this moment doing a new album. And Mike Pinder, the original keyboard player who played Go Now, he's playing one of the songs. He's playing on one of the songs on my new album. I just got in touch with him over something else and asked him, and he said he'd love to. So, you know, there's a reunion there just as we speak, really.
My guest is Denny Lane, and he will be one of the performers at Hippie Fest at Brooklyn Seaside Park on West 5th Street and Surf Avenue. That's between Coney Island Avenue and Brighton Beach tonight. It is free. It's at 7:30, I'll get into free, which strikes me as odd. Somebody's got to get paid for this, I assume. But who are you going to be performing with?
Well, you know, the Zombies are very good friends of mine. Colin Blundstone actually had a hit with one of my songs, Say You Don't Mind, and they're on the show. Felix, the Rascals. I know Felix well. I know sort of a lot of the people on the show, although it changes and varies from different venue to venue. I did a few last year. Mountain were on some of them. You know, it's Country Joe McDonald. You mentioned the Vietnam thing, and he was the famous singer of that song. I've done a few of them, and they're very enjoyable from the point of view of everybody gets back together and meets and have some fun. You know, that people.
So you'll be playing with different members of the different groups.
Actually, I go on, and we have a set band for the first few solo sort of acts, and then they have the bands on the second half. I think. The main bands.
And it's free. This is the only time that it is free on the tour, that I understand it.
I think it's probably because it's a council-led thing, you know, where the council pays for the entertainment, you know, in that particular venue.
You live in Las Vegas, so do you think of yourself as an American these days?
I've been there a few years now, and, on and off, I've been coming to America since the 60s, so I do kind of, it's my second home, and in fact, that's one of the songs on my new album, My Second Home.
Now, we left off at the Moody Blues, but I have to go through the rest of some of the bands that you've been on, because it's an extraordinary
absolutely.
Career. There was Denny Lane and the Electric String Band, which morphed into the Electric Light Orchestra, ELO, and then you had a band called Balls for a little while. You were in Ginger Baker's Air Force. Then Paul McCartney called, and you were in Wings.
That's right. Well, you know, again, these are all friends of mine. I mean, Alan White was in Balls with me. He's from Yes. Trevor Burton was from The Move. He was in Balls. Ginger Baker and I were friends from the early Chuck Berry tour that we did with him and Jack Bruce. You know, and we meet up over the years and end up doing a few things together. That's basically how it works. I mean, I get invited to do stuff, and that's what I do, you know.
But the longest time actually was with Wings.
Yeah, with Wings. Well, because I knew Paul, and I think he wanted to do something and not have people around him who were intimidated so much by him being a Beatle, you know. That made his life a lot easier. So, and he knew that I, and you mentioned Electric String Band. Well, that was an experimental stage for me, but it was also based on a little bit the Ellen Rigby style of things. And
because it had a cello.
Yeah, it had all the strings. And I always loved, you know, like in Birmingham, as I say, there was a lot of different music that we were exposed to. And I loved classical music, folk music, and we blended a lot of stuff, you know. And ELO kind of came from that. In fact, the drummer from ELO was in my first band, the Diplomats, Bev Bevan. So, you know, we're all interlinked in a way like that. So Paul wanted somebody who could write and have the same ideas, basically.
And you wrote again and again and again, mm-hmm. and then co-wrote with McCartney, including The Mull of Kintyre.
That's right.
Which was his first number one since he was a Beatle.
I believe so, yeah.
So did you collaborate? Well, I know I'm sure there are many people out there know that there was a falling out, but was the collaboration good for a while?
The collaboration was musically was great. I mean, you know, we co-wrote that in Scotland.
Lane McCartney.
McCartney Lane, actually. And yeah, we were rehearsing and living in Scotland a lot of the year, basically, in those days, because it was peaceful and it was away from the press and everything. So that's where we went to write and rehearse. And record in some cases. And we recorded Mull of Kintyre actually outdoors with the mountains and the Cameltown Pipe Band, you know, in a very sort of natural setting. Yeah, but, you know, like I say, we didn't fall out about things like that. But at the end of the day, it was usually, it was probably because he was so big and when he got done in Japan for that thing, you know, he got busted in Japan, basically. And I wanted to carry on touring and doing whatever I had another album that I wanted to bring out, so we kind of drifted apart. We didn't really fall out. That's a bit of a misconception, actually.
Although you sold your rights to Mull of Kintyre, did you?
I did, but not all of the rights to it. You know, the fact of the matter is, I had a big tax bill, if you want to know the truth, and I needed to pay some money. But the thing is that you know, he kind of wrote that song in a way. It came to me with the chorus. I helped him a lot with the lyrics, but I consider that to be more his song.
Probably the way that he and John collaborated. Sometimes
yeah.
One would have done most of the song and the other one would help out,
that's
and vice
really,
versa.
Yeah, that's really the way most, writers work when they work together.
Would you ever write a tell-all book?
Well, you know, I've never sort of had anything really bad to say about, you know, him or anybody, really. But I would write a book.
A tell-all book can be nice things.
Yeah, exactly. I would write it from my point of view, and it would be stories that I can remember, not things that, you know, I'm vague about. It's things that stand out and enjoyable stuff, you know.
It's interesting that you say stories you can remember, because Toby Ludwig, the creator of this Hippie Fest tour, says that Hippie Fest is for people who weren't around in the 60s and 70s, or were, and just can't seem to remember. I suspect there are a bunch of people like that.
Well, you know, life is like that. You know, you tend to remember things that stood out. There's so much going on at the time. You know, you look back, it's like, you know.
So what are the things that really stand out? Playing with Jimi Hendrix?
Yeah, stuff like that. I mean, Jimmy was a friend through Noel Redding. He was a friend. And you know, I did a gig with him, and I met Paul. Paul came to that show with Lennon. They saw me play, and that's the reason I got the gig, in a way, you know. So those, when things link together like that, that's the kind of thing that really stands out. That's the point.
And when you look back at your musical career, do you think, gee, if I'd only done that differently? Do you do that kind of thing?
Not really, no.
Mm-hmm.
I just go with
it's all worked out?
I go with the flow. You know, it's all meant to be. I go with the flow, and people come to me, you know, if I'm in a good receptive mood, things happen. If I don't feel like doing it, it doesn't.
Has your music changed a lot over the years? We had Nick Lowe on the show last week, and if you look at the course of his career, I mean, he started off near punk, and now he's writing very different kinds of songs.
Yeah, I think it does change, you know, gradually into something else. But basically, I still revert back to my old roots musically, which is jazz, blues, and folk, you know. And I write with that same style, in a sense. But I've learned so many other techniques, you know, by working with different people. And the influences come from that. And like with Ginger Baker, for example, there's a lot of, you know, African influences. Band on the Run was recorded in Africa. There's a lot of influences there. So I think it does change, you know, minimally. But at the end of the day, you're still the same person with the same likes, you know, and dislikes musically.
Meanwhile, tonight, most of the groups at Hippie Fest are American. We have the Turtles, Happy Together. Yeah. Felix Cavalieri's Rascals, Good Lovin', How Can I Be Sure, People Gotta Be Free, Groovin', The Zombies, She's Not There, Mountain, Mississippi Queen, Mitch Ryder, I don't think he's calling himself the Detroit Wheels anymore, Devil with a Blue Dress On, Badfinger, Come and Get It, and there we're back with Paul McCartney there, right?
Yeah.
Country Joe McDonald, well, a whole bunch of anti-war songs, Iron Butterfly and Agata DeVita. That is one of my least favorite songs. And also Melanie, Lay Down. Should I have said that? I guess I shouldn't have. But
well,
anyway.
I know you're entitled to say what you
and
like.
And what will you be playing?
I'll be doing Go Now. I'll be doing a song that I wrote off of a Wings album that I did called Time to Hide. And I'll be doing my version of Band on the Run.
And I'm told that Iron Butterfly isn't performing tonight. Okay.
They're on some of the shows. You're allowed to get it mixed up. I always do.
Denny Lane, thank you so much for being with us today.
You're welcome.